And since I was lazy, I'm just going to basically say what I said 9 years ago.
I remember it clearly.
That's probably unlikely since you was before you made Aliyah, and you definitely were not coming to the Shabbos morning class
No,
that
I
night 9 years
wasn't
ago.
right. I was coming Sunday.
The Tanakh's class is still coming, going on, but it's on Tuesday evenings now, which is a
Oh,
tough time for Israel.
yeah.
Okay, we're gonna start with the
Jack,
halacha.
it's a halacha.
Right, this is the Rambam, Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Melachim, Melachim Melchamot, Perakei. We'll get a couple of items in here. Starts paragraph Zion. Mutar lishkon b'chol ha'olam. You are allowed to live in anywhere in the world, chutz mi'eretz Mitzrayim, but you can't live in Egypt. That's the law. Min hayam hagadol ha'maravi. About Me'el Parsa, about Be'er Parsa, coming from the Mediterranean, which is west of Israel, right? So from the Mediterranean, put a little box into Africa, 400 parsa by 400 parsa od, so 1600 square kilometers by 1600 kilometers, Kenegat Eretz Kush all the way up to Ethiopia, Kenegat Midbar up to the Libyan desert. Kol Asur, you can't dwell there. That's halacha.
Huh.
V'shlosha makamot hizhira Torah shlo Mitzrayim. Because there are three places in the Torah where it warns that you can't go back to Egypt. Our parsha is all about how you're leaving Egypt, don't go back. First one is going to mention is in Devarim, in the laws of a king. It says, Rak lo yarbelo susim, your king cannot have too many horses. Lo y why did it say Yeshiv? I thought I had corrected that. Let me stick that in. You can watch me edit in real time. Yeshiv. Nope, it's not going to do this. Sorry.
Yeshiv.
It's definitely there. Okay. Okay. Back. Okay, the quote is Yashiva ta'am Mitzrayim should not return the people to Egypt, specifically Laman Harbatsus, in order to get more horses. Hashem Amar Lachem, and Hashem had told you, Lo tosifun lashuv baderech ze'od, you will not return on this way ever again. So don't go back to Egypt. The next one is that he's going to mention is in the Tochacha. If you do everything wrong, you'll be sent to exile, your country will be destroyed. Mitzrayim, then you'll be sent back to, God will send you back to Egypt in boats. In the way that I told you, lo tosif oli rota, you will never see it again. And the third example, he says, is from our week's parsha. Moshe tells the people as they're standing at the edge of Yam Suf, Al Tiro, do not be afraid, Hitzyatzvu, stand strong, Uruz Yishrat Hashem, Asher Yaseh Lachem Hayom, and you will see the salvation that Hashem will do for you today. Yasheri Temet Mitzrayim Hayom, the way you see Egypt today, Lo Tosifu Lirotam Od Aralam, you will never see them again. And those are interesting because none of those are actually commandments not to go back to Egypt. The closest you get is don't go there for the horses. Right?
Yeah.
Tochacha is it's a threat. If you're bad, then you will go back to Egypt. And the word from our parsha is a promise: don't be afraid, stand here, and you will never see them like this again. But we'll look at that. Halacha has learned that this is actually halacha, don't live in Egypt.
What's
Alexandria,
this? Yeah, I was going to ask about Alexandria.
Alexandria Bechlal HaEsor, and Alexandria is part of the issue. You cannot live in Alexandria.
But they did.
Ah, very good. We'll talk about that. Okay, Mutalach Matia. You can go to Egypt to do business, and to conquer other lands, then go through there. The Isser here is to well, to remain in Egypt. Verily, it appears to me, Rambam says, Im kavash melech Yisrael eretz Mitzrayim, I'll be betin, that you had an actual milchama of the nation and conquered Israel, conquered Egypt, that would be okay. You've now kashered the land. Lo hisira Torah el lashuv la yichidim. The Isser is living there as an individual, olishkonba, vihi biyad goyim, and to live there, and to live there under the rule of non-Jewish rulers. Because what they do there, their culture is so much more warped, so much worse than the other lands. As it said, so don't do the things that they did in Egypt.
Rambam never lived in Egypt.
No, he lived most of his life in Egypt. We'll talk about that.
Oh.
Okay. But that's the halacha. Don't live in Egypt. And your point about Alexandria, right? It was the center of the Jewish community in historical times. And this is the Gemara in Sukkah describing Alexandria. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Mishlo Duplo Stoan, the double stoa, the bubble colonnaded shul, the huge synagogue in Alexandria, Shel Alexandria, the Duplo Stoan. That was in Alexandria, Egypt. Never seen the glory of Israel. This was beautiful. I mean, you think the Beit HaMikdash was nice. You should see this Duplo Stoan, the grand synagogue of Alexandria. Amru. And they said, Kamin Basiliki, a basilica, that's an English word, a big dome building, Gedola Haita, it's a huge dome building, Stoa, S-T-O-A, which is a colonnade.
A colonnade, right.
Yeah. Okay. Mistoa. It's one with the other, hence the term duplo stoa and a double stoa. That way, where they called it that. And there are points you can hold double the number that came out of Egypt, 1.2 million. I have to imagine it's an exaggeration. It's hard to imagine if it went to any building, but it was big. We've talked about what a cathedra, it's the origin of the English word cathedral, but it literally means a throne or a fancy chair.
Oh.
Extended to a seat of power. These were the cathedra, were what the Sanhedrin sat on. They had 71 cathedra ot, shel zahav of gold, keneged shibim ve'achat shel Sanhedrin gadola, corresponding to the Sanhedrin. The board of directors of the shul had gold cathedra, just like the Sanhedrin did. Every one of them was made out of 21,000 talents of gold. And they had a big platform of wood in the middle. And the gabai omerala would stand there. We got sudarim biado, where we'd be holding handkerchiefs, little flags. Kevin Shigil, Anod Amen, and when it was time to say Amen, Hala Menif Basudar, he would wave the flag, call Amanim Amen. They would all say Amen because it was too big. Nobody could hear what was going on in the front where the chazan was, or the center. Okay, this is a big shul. This is, yeah, if you didn't see this, this is the glory of Alexandria.
Wow.
And that people didn't sit in a balagan, it was very organized. El Zahavim bibne Asman, that the gold workers sat in their section. Bakasafim bibne Asman, the silver workers sat in their section. Nafachim bibne Asman, blacksmiths in their section. The Tarasiyim bibne Asman, I think that's copper workers in their section. Radiyim bibne Asman, and the weavers in their own section. And they all be talking to each other. That's why they couldn't hear anything, because that's what we talk. And if a poor person, an unemployed person would go there, you would find your section of with your talent, your guild's section of the shul, and he would go there. Misham parnasat and shebeto, and then he would get a job by hanging out in shul in the right sections. That's the Alexandria. Amar Bayit. And the community of Alexandria was wiped out by Alexander of Macedon, which is probably not the right gear. So it should be Alexander of Macedon. Obviously founded Alexandria. It was wiped out by Trajan.
It was?
Yeah, the Ketone War, I think it was. So that was the, Trajan was the generation before Vespasian. No, before Hadrian, sorry. Hadrian was the emperor of Betar. So.
But they went there after the Korban, right?
They went there after the Korban Rishon, they went there after the Korban Sheni, but the big community, they rebelled against the Romans in about the year 100 or so. So it was like 30 years before Betar, before Bar Kokhba's rebellion.
And they were wiped out?
And pretty much wiped out.
Oh.
Huge community, right? They were killed, right? My time in Inish, why were they punished? Mishum da'avri ahadei krab, because they violated the law, the pasuk of lo tusi from the shul b'derech zeh, oh, you can't go back to Egypt. Enu ahadei atu, and they went back. They were punished. So where does this prohibition come from? So we look at the parsha there, right? So it comes from the parsha. We looked at the psukim. Let's go to the psukim in this week's parsha. They've left Egypt. They're on the edge of the Yam Suf. For Paro who creep and Paro cuts close. Faceu Bnei Israel to Nehem. Bnei Israel lifted their eyes. Bnei Mitzrayim Noseid Achrayhem. Looked at Egypt chasing after them. They were afraid. Vayitzu Bnei Israel Hashem. And they cried out to God. Emruah Moshe. And they tell Moshe, Habamli Ein Kvarim Mitzrayim. What? You couldn't find enough graves in Egypt? I mean, they sound Jewish, right? They got that sarcasm right there. You couldn't leave us there to die? You had us die in the desert? Mazora Sita Lana, what have you done to us? Luciano is trying to take us out of Egypt. Isn't this what we told you, Mitzrayim? In Egypt, Lomar, just go away. Leave us alone, we'll serve Egypt. Better we should be slaves than we should die here in the wilderness. So Moshe tells the people, do not be afraid. Hityatfu, stand still. And you'll see how Hashem will save you today. Because the way you see Egypt today, you will never see them this way again. Hashem yilachem lachem, God will fight for you, and you will be silent. So at first glance, it looks like a promise, right? This is not a commandment. Right? It's that you will not see Egypt this way, not that you shall not. You're not allowed to look at Egyptians anymore. So the Rambam gets an interpretation that's a commandment, it's the Mechilta. So the Mechilta says this explicitly, so he's got a source for that. Yishlosh makamot, yishlosha makamot, hishir ma'amakom, yisrael, shlo lachzor Mitzrayim. Three times Hashem warns Israel not to return to Egypt.
When was the Mechilta written?
Mechilta is from the time of the Tanaim. It's the Midrash Halacha on Shemot. So It would be somewhere between 1 and 200.
200.
The Mechilta here is Rabbi Shmuel, so that's contemporary Rabbi Kiva, so probably 100 to 130, that area. Okay. It says, that's Shemot. And it says, that's from the Law of the Kings in Devarim. And that's from the Tocha, that Hashem will bring you back in the way that I told you, you will not ever see them away this way again.
I don't get that pasuk. Hashem will bring you back to Mitzrayim.
Right, that's the threat. That's the tochacha. That's the tochacha. That you right. You, if when Hashem will do that which He promised never to do to you. That's the threat of tochacha. Kind of implied in the promise of not going back to Egypt is the fact that you're going to obey. You're going to obey the law. You will keep your side of the brit. If you don't, Hashem will not keep His side of the brit. Again, none of these sound like commandments, thou right. shalt not.
Right.
These are either promises that you will or a threat that if you're bad, you will end up going back or a promise you won't have to. The only one that's a commandment is the one from the king should not have horses and Vashem Amar Lachem. go to the Sifu and you won't go back there again, so you shouldn't go back for the horses. So this is where the Mechilta, again, this is a almost a midrashic way of looking at it. Pshat doesn't look like a commandment.
Right.
And here, the wording here is not quite a commandment. It's his hira makom, Israel. He warned them against it. Raman puts it as an actual commandment. We'll try to see where we get a commandment from. But the Mechilta continues. So shtam chazru sham, but there were three periods of time when they went back to Egypt. Shoshtam naflu, and three times that they were destroyed. The community in Egypt was destroyed. Rishana bimech Sancherev. The first time was time of Sancherev. Sancherev destroys the northern kingdom, invades Yehuda, is about to destroy Yerushalayim, saved in a miracle in the time of Hizkiah. And Yeshaya says, Hoya yordim Mitzrayim la'ezra. Oy vey, for you people are going down to Egypt for help, right? Everyone who panicked, ran to Egypt, they were going to be wiped out. Vashini b'imei Yochanan ben Kerach, and the second was the in Yochanan ben Kerach, in the destruction of the first Beit Midash. After the Beit Midash, it might just destroy, Yochanan ben Kerach led a group of Jews down into Egypt as refugees. Yirmiyahu tells them, don't go. Stay in Israel. Things will be okay. You'll survive under Babylonian rule. And so they kidnap him and bring him to Egypt anyway. But Yirmiyahu tells him that you won't be saved in Egypt. And he says, that this sword that you're afraid of, Sham Tasigachem, is going to reach you, Beres Mitzrayim. You'll be safe for staying in Israel. And this is the famine that you're worried about, Sham Yidbak Arachem Mitzrayim, it will chase you down to Egypt. You will die there in Egypt.
Was the Sinai Peninsula part of the little square you're not supposed to go to?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Vashlishit, the third time they went out to Egypt, Bimei Torninus, in the days of Trajan. That's what we talked about, the destruction of the huge community in Alexandria in the years before the Bar Kokhba rebellion. That's the Mechilta. So you know, the Rambam himself, right, who says this is the biblical commandment, right? He learns this as an actual Isser, not just a warning, don't do it, but this is an actual Isser. Lived most of his adult life in Egypt. Okay, commentators of the Mishnah Torah talk about this. This is the Radbaz. Vim Tomar, and if you want to say Tikshli Rabbeinu, that we should have a kasha for the Rambam, Sherry Nishta Kev Mitzrayim, that he certainly lived in Egypt. Everything he did was in Egypt, ever since he was a young man. Ishlamar the Anus Haya, that he was forced to Alpia Malchut, Sheyarofil, Amelch, Zarim, he couldn't leave. Gamanin Yeshabti Mitzrayim, Zaman Ruba, the Radbaz says that I also ended up in Egypt for a long time, Lilmot Torah, Lamda, because they had yeshivas there, and I taught there, the Kavati Sham Yeshiva, and I established a school there. Kiyai Gavna Mutar says that's okay. And I came back. So no one's going to worry about this. If you're anus, I have no idea how you pronounce it, anus, but the Rambam, interesting. This is a quote from the Masad Rav Kook, Mishnah Torah La'am. And he says the Kaftov of Ferach was a commentary on the Rambam, said, Rabbeinu haya chotem shmo bigeret, that when the Rambam had signed his name in letters, Masayimba, he would add as his dot sig file, the signature after there, Akotev over b'chol yom shlosha lavim. Signed, Moshe ben Maimam, who violates every day three lotas says. Right? Three times it says, don't live in Egypt, and I'm doing it. Fully acknowledging that.
Wow.
I find that fascinating. I don't have a great answer, right? It's not it. So the question is, is it really one of the Lo Tasez, or is it a warning that it's a bad thing? I'm still going to look at that. So in our Pasuk, so Rashi, in our Pasuk, says it's a promise. It's not an Isser, you're not allowed to see Egypt again. It says that, you'll be saved. Right?
Yeah.
The way you see Egypt now, you'll never see it. Ma'asher'itim otem. The way you're looking at them now, they're coming at you, that's today. You won't see it again. right? You'll never be attacked by Egypt again. But as a promise, it didn't come true. A couple of places where we see that Egypt invades Israel, we have space.
But still, maybe it wasn't the world power that it had been. In other words, Egypt's peak is over.
Yeah, I mean, it's really what it remained a world power really until the Romans, you know, until the whole Mark Antony and Cleopatra and Julius Caesar, right, and all that time.
Right.
Mostly that's much it was as a because of military power, but because it was the breadbasket of the world that, you know, anybody grow that much food, that the Nile was that fertile that it dominated economically, if not militarily. So we have in Vayhi b'Shnah Chamishit LeMelech Rechavam. Rechavam, who's the son of Shlomo, the kingdom has split apart. Rechavam managed to go from bad to worse, getting everything wrong. And the fifth year of Rechavam, Allah Shushak Melech Mitzrayim, Shushak was the name of the Pharaoh, and he attacked Yerushalayim. Vayikach et Otsot Beit Hashem. He took all of the storehouses of the Beit Midash, destroyed Beit HaMelech, and of the palace, the Kol HaKach, he took everything he could, plundered Yerushalayim, the Kachal Kol Meginei HaZahav, Asher Asah Shlomo, and all the golden shields that were plating everything, he took that, plundered Yerushalayim. And the other one that we probably know better is the days of Yoshiyahu. Before the Korban of the first Beit Midash, Biyamav ala Parov Necho, Melech Mitzrayim, Necho was a Pharaoh then, and he went up, Al Melech Ashur attacked the Assyrians and went through Israel at that point. Vayelech HaMelech Yoshio Lekrato, and Yoshio went to go fight him. By Miteo, and he was killed, by Megiddo, in the battle of Megiddo, Kiroto, as soon as they saw him. So that's when Yoshio dies, and Yirmiyahu is mourning because he was the last good king. So Egypt certainly attacks Israel. So it's not really a promise, but they won't see them again. So the Ramban puts it together. So where did we get this? It's a commandment. Is it really a promise? What do we do with this? And Ramban is looking at this on the pasuk in Devarim about the king.
Do all those who count 613 include, I know Rambam does, but do the others?
I don't know. I mean, the Rambam is basically all that we count. So the other is, does the Baal HaChalakot Gedolot include it? I don't know. And does the Ramban and his commentary include it? I don't know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm. We go by the Rambam 613.
When we look at the list, like the Sefer HaChinuch is the Rambam, right? That's his list of 613.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The Ramban, looking at the Pesukim, trying to figure, where does this commandment idea come from? I said, Lo yabelu l'shusim. Yeah, you can't go down to Egypt to get a lot of horses. Ukshili b'lazeh. And I have a tough time with this. Gimru b'yushalmi b'sof Sanhedrin, v'yinal halach in Yushalmi, v'yishiva yetach ozeh. You can't go there and dwell there. Avata ochozeh l'schora l'frakmatia v'kivush aretz. The Rambam quoted that idea that you can go there, do business, you can go there for military purposes. You can't live there.
And you
can
go there to teach Torah.
Radbaz said that, right?
Maybe he was saying, I know it was, I shouldn't, but it wasn't that bad because at least I taught Torah there.
Yeah, I don't know where he's saying that. He's saying, you know, what does anus mean there, right?
Right.
Forced to, right? It's the only place I could go. I could earn a living. But the Ramban says that if the Torah says the actual prohibition that we have in this pasuk is not to go for his horses, right? That's the definition of doing business. Right, umutar. So where does Yerushalmi say you can't live, but you can do business when the example the Torah says seems to be just the opposite?
Right.
Yitakech derech hakatuv. And the way I want to see it, he is here, lo yarbelu susim is its own halacha. Afilu me'art so me'art shina. You want to grow, raise your own horses. It's the whole don't rely on your own strength. Or you want to go to the Iraq to get your horses, b'derech schoram, or any other permitted way of, reasonable way of buying horses. So yivtach l'rechvo. That's the number one. Lo yir below sisit. Kirav. Rechbo kirav. Don't rely on your huge cavalry, val pirshok, yes, ma'od, or your horsemen, because you're so strong. Yivtach l'rechvo b'shem melaka. That's where you should do. We should trust it. Bacharkach is here, the second part. Ki alamelch, so yashiva to am Mitzrayma, that you shouldn't go back to Egypt. So yusham, me'abadav, me'amav, sarei mikneh, yoshim be'eretz ha'rechev, lemanar bosus, that you shouldn't be dwelling there, trying to raise the horses. And the example it says is, v'ashem amar lachem, v'tusifim l'shuv b'derech hazeod. And the key there is that Hashem amar lachem, there, that's in the past perfect. Hashem has previously told you not to go back. And there that's in terms of a commandment. Mm-hmm. Hashem told them not to go back. That when did Hashem previously tell them not to go back? The only time we have is in our parsha.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a mitzvah. So effectively, Sefer Devarim here, by saying Hashem Amar Lachem, is the Midrash on Sefer Shmuel,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Shat, and Sefer Shmuel is Thomas. The Drash that Moshe is telling us in Sefer Devarim is saying that also has this Toshvel Peh aspect of it, meaning it's a commandment as well. Hashem Amar Lachem had already commanded you back in this line, read that as a commandment as well.
Maybe the one with the susim is just a command on the king.
Right. Though that's what I'm about to say, that there's a commandment not to raise a lot of horses.
No, the lo yashiv.
Lo yashiv, where the wording there is...
It's singular for the king.
The wording is, here he goes again. The lo yashiv et ha'am mitzrayma. Leman Harbotsis. He shouldn't bring here the people. He should not cause the people to go back to Egypt.
Right. So it's a commandment
to the king.
Individual on the king.
Right. The point that makes it a commandment is Hashem Amar Lachem had already told you back in the Al Tiru, right? That's the way we're going to read that is there.
That and that's on everybody. Are individuals right. allowed to have a lot of horses?
Yes. That's specifically okay. a Melech and Malchut thing.
Yeah.
Presumably, but
they're not allowed to go to Mitzrayim.
Not allowed to live in Egypt, but we all do it anyway. So that's the question whether it's actually an Isser or a warning.
What do we do anyway?
We live in Egypt anyway. As they said, lots of people, they keep living
right.
there, even
not
though
today.
It's not.
Right.
Okay.
Not since Alexandria, probably.
Well, I mean, there's still a community in Egypt.
Is there?
Yeah, and there was a pretty large community.
That's true. All these Egyptian Jews who came to Israel.
They did, right. But that was well after the Alexandria, right? Time of the Rambam, yeah.
that was
Alexandria.
Even modern, before the state.
Right. Right, the Rambam was part
Egyptian
of a large
Jews.
Community.
There were Egyptian Jews.
Yeah.
Today, I mean, you know, not today, but.
Yeah, I mean, there's still some Jews there.
Okay, they shouldn't be there.
Okay, so going back to Mechilta, right? The commandment is mentioned three times. The actual commandment is our Parsha. Again, on the drush on that, it's mentioned three times. Once in the context of Yamsuf, once in the context of the Susim, and then once in context of the Tochacha. Hashem is going to force you to do something that he told you not to do.
Yeah.
Okay? And they manifest as three different eras in history. That's what Mechilta says. Okay? In Parsha Shemot, in our Parsha, the commandment is not to be impressed by might, the military prowess, and therefore you're going to move there or ally with them. And that's what he's talking about, days of Sancheret. Right? You were afraid of war. That's why you wanted to join Egypt. That was the first time. That's the first mistake. The second mistake was in the laws of the king. There it's not a matter of being impressed by their military might, but it's talking about being impressed by their wealth, culture. Simple as you go to the horses, that's where you make your money. And that was the sin of the Jews of Alexandria. They were assimilated into Egypt. They had all the money in the world. That's what they wanted. And that's what they went back to. They went to Egypt, basically, Laman Harbot Zeus. That's what they did wrong.
Not Onus.
I'm sorry?
Not Anus. They didn't go because they had nowhere else to go. And
right. But they had a good living. They could afford big gold seats for the president of the shul. the guilds of workers that they're talking about are the gold workers and the silver workers. It's not the shul, the plumbers and the and the street sweepers. And the third one is part of the Tochacha, which is the prophecy of the punishments that come if Bnei Israel violate the Torah. It's not a commandment, it's a warning. Right? So how could that be, the Jews be blamed for that? Right? Hashem's bringing him there as a punishment.
That's but definitely there's a reference about, I told you in the past, so it's a commandment. Right. I told you not to go there.
So you can also read the same way that there was a commandment.
Right.
And
this parsha.
And it has to be this week's parsha because it's the only place it's ever mentioned. So we're reading this.
Right.
So the reason why this is actually is here azhara, as Mithilda says, not to go back to Egypt. Is because if you look at it, there's another pasuk. There's a prohibition of destroying the mizbeach. Okay, you can't break down the mizbeach. You're supposed to destroy the altars of Avodah Zarah, Bishibar Tem, Mitzvotam, take down their pillars, Asherahim, Tishruvim Ba'esh, and burn their worshiping trees. Silei Eloheihem, Tikadeun, and uproot their idols. Bibar Temet Shema Minamakamahu, and you wipe out their name from their place. Lo tasun kein l'Hashem l'keichem. Don't do that to God.
Okay.
Right. Interpret it a number of ways. Number one is don't destroy the mizbeach.
Okay.
So Rashi brings in the Sifrei Amar Rabbi Yishmael. V'chitaleh datchash Yisrael notzitzim mizbechot. Wait. Why would the Jews destroy the mizbeach? What kind of issue is that? They shouldn't do the acts of Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayot. That if they do that, they will end up with the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed. That's the issue. Don't do the sorts of things that can end up with the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed. That's what the warning here. So similarly,
and it fits the words, lo ta'asu kein. You know, the way they worship trees, don't do that.
Cain, all the things there.
Lotus of Cain is not,
Well, in the context it is, right? It is Lotus of Cain, don't destroy them. Well, but yes, it is broader than that, yes.
Yeah.
And that pasuk, in the context, it's all about not having, you know, an altar and taka called Etranan,
right.
Everything else. And it all leads up to this destruction. But I would say that the Tocha is telling you, the prohibition inherent in the Tocha is not don't move to Egypt, but it's don't do the sorts of things that will lead inevitably to your exile back into Egypt. That's what Tocha is telling you.
Okay.
Don't go back to Egypt, not because once it comes to that, you're not going to have a choice.
Uh-huh.
And that was the Aver in the sins of David of Yochanan Bekerach, the third example in the times after the Churba. That they ended up in Egypt as refugees. And after the murder of Gedaliah, they went back to Egypt. Not because they necessarily wanted to go to Egypt, but they had everything that had led up to the Churban, led up to that exile. And so that's what the Ramban puts it, says that that's an important part of this issur of not going down to Egypt. The Egyptians were the, and the Canaanites also were the prime example of sinners. Moshe Amar, as the Rambam quote as well, don't do it. Don't be like the Egyptians. Don't be like Canaan. We're not supposed to learn from them. And he wiped out the Canaanim, all of them, as it said, you cannot let the Canaanim live as Canaanim in your land. We can't go to Egypt because we're going to learn their sinful ways. And so that we have these three reasons we ended up under the influence of Egypt and societies like it. One, because we want Egyptian wealth. One, because we want Egyptian power. And one, we really like Egyptian culture, sin, Gilui Ariyot, libertine attitudes. And in all three cases, Hashem warns we need to maintain our identity, maintain our independence. And we don't want to end up like Paro and his chariots and the Yamsuf and end up all washed up. And we'll get a mic drop there.
I had a question as you were going through that. Don't move to Egypt. Okay. Right, so it depends on God's like threat that if you act a certain way, I will bring you back to Egypt.
Right. And so that's forbidden. Act that way. So don't act that way. Right.
And what would you say the Rambam, how he didn't read it that way. He read it, don't you go of your own free will to Egypt.
Well, he's reading from the Mechilta, right? There are three, where he words it, there are three places where it's mentioned. His Hira Torah Shalom Lashuv Mitzrayim. It warns about that you shall not go back to Egypt. It doesn't say, you know, why you end up in those places. And Mechilta gives these three examples, and I'm extending it there, that there are three.
It's a very broad extension. In other words, don't be bad, because if you're bad, you'll end up in Egypt.
I mean, that's clearly what the Tocha is saying.
Right. Okay. But the other two, right. So you think Rambam's Isur is don't be bad?
No, I think Rambam is, again, taking the Mechilta and the Ramban is explaining that the Isur is, from our Parsha, is Lo Tosifu Rotam Od Ad Olam. And the other two are mentioning that.
Yeah.
So there are three places where it is mentioned. The our parsha is the source of the actual Isser.
And the Isser is what?
Lo tosifu l'tam, you shall not go back to Egypt and see them this way.
And it's a physical thing. Don't go to Egypt.
And that's the drasha of and here we go, right?
What
Hashem,
I mean is
spirit. Right, so that the interpretation of that is from the part of the Devar Mi Zion, right? Hashem had told you, you shall not go, you should not go back on this way, the way to Egypt. Don't do that. So that is the issue there. And I don't have an answer. Okay, so what do we do with all the people who did do that?
Right.
I don't have a great answer. Obviously, Michal is saying that they did it and it was not good. They were punished, etc.
Yeah. Huh. It's funny because I don't think of Egypt as the epitome of evil, like, and Avodah Zarah and all that. Do you?
Well, not now. Like I said, Egypt has lost a lot of that.
But even back then, like, I guess because we stopped being associated with them. So we didn't.
Right. So Babel became much more of an influence. The Eastern areas,
right.
Syria and Babylonia were much more influenced than Egypt was. I mean, most of the Avodah Zarah sorts of influences in the Jews were from Canaan and the areas around Moab, yeah. The local areas there. Yeah. Nobody was terribly impressed by Babylonian gods. It was most
right. Because we didn't go back to Egypt. We cut ties with Egypt, except for a few times.
Right.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to stop here. I don't know. I haven't heard from Davida, so hopefully she's okay.
Yeah. You haven't heard.
I haven't heard. I just sent her a message, and we'll see. It's 8:30 in the morning. Well, anything's possible. Like I said, she's at 35 weeks. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, have a good day and good Shabbos.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll stop here. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.